Hello and welcome to Bricks and Banner, the show with real talk from the custom LEGO community. I'm your host, as always, Billy, and before we jump into things, I want to give another huge shout out to my friend Charlie, who created this theme music that you hear now. If you like what you hear, please consider checking out his music. It is streaming everywhere under the name Charlie the Nomad. Also, I realize that I may have never formally announced this or addressed it, but on the Bricks and Banter Instagram page, there is always a wrap-up post that gets uploaded alongside each episode. In these wrap-up posts, it includes many images of what has been discussed during the episode, so if you are completely lost or unaware of something, there is a great chance that it is in that post. Make sure to go follow the Instagram page. It's bricks_and_banter. Following us there is a great way to keep updated once a new episode is released, and I'd really appreciate if you use the Instagram to repost the wrap-ups and help spread the word about the podcast. With all the housekeeping taken care of now, let's introduce this week's guest. He is an artist I have been a fan of a long time, and yes, I say artist. He does it all with his figures, combining painting and sculpting flawlessly. That's right, this week we have Aaron, aka LM9 Productions, on, and it was an absolute blast. I can't wait for you guys to hear this one. So with no further ado, let's get right into it. And here we are with Aaron, aka LM9 Productions. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. How have you been? It's good to have you on.
Yeah, I know. I was watching one with Eli, and you guys were talking about having some other people on here, and I saw you guys mention Nate and Tristan, and then Nate hopped on here and spoke very highly of his experience on here. So I was like, oh, that'd be something pretty fun to do. So I figured,
yeah, he's got to suggest to me some other guys from the painting community to get on as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it, because I could think of quite a few people that will probably have a lot of fun coming on here and talk about some stuff.
Perfect. You know, actually, I was just thinking about it earlier too, and you mentioned Tristan briefly. I just recorded with him on Tuesday, so.
Oh, really?
That's going to go up just before yours, and it'll be just in time before he leaves and all that. And by the time everyone's listening to this, it's going to be like 4 weeks away. So I'm really trying to get ahead with things and have like a bunch
have
of podcasts
backlog.
Booked up. Yeah.
There you go.
So this is a good start, but it's also weird because I don't know. I feel like one of the really nice things about some of my older episodes was that they're very current. And talked about things in the moment, and now that might get lost, so I have to plan a bit better for stuff like that.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure it won't be too big of an issue. But yeah, I was going to say, I saw you were having Tristan on, and I was like, oh, I thought he was leaving at the end of the month, so I was really confused if that was going to go up beforehand or what.
Yeah, so we had talked briefly, like, when I first got to know him a couple months back, we kind of, like, flirted with the idea, and then later on, or maybe it was just in my head, I don't know if we actually discussed it, or I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna get Tristan on the podcast, like, for sure.
Yeah.
no doubt. And then I messaged him maybe 2 or 3 weeks before he announced that he was leaving.
Oh man.
And I was like, hey, I'd love to get you on the podcast, let me know if you're free at all, yada yada. And he's like, dude, I'd absolutely love to, but I'm just so booked right now, like, we'll make it happen in the future. I was like, for sure.
Drop the bombshell.
Yeah. And then he comes around and he's like, man, like, I'm leaving. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I talked to him about some other things in between that time. And then it just kept nagging at me, like, man, I got to get him on before he goes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't let this rest. I can't.
Right.
But I felt bad to, like, pursue it just after talking to him. But I figured the circumstances have changed enough to warrant it.
Yeah, so I guess, like, so.
I was like, hey, I don't want to bug you, but. And I know you're, like, exponentially more busy now, but
yeah,
we should definitely make it happen.
Hey, good thing he was able to fit it in, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He was like, as soon as he got back to me on it, he was just like, yeah, let's this week, like, 2 days ahead. And I was like, bet, I'll put it down. I'm ready. And we just banged it out. It was good to talk to him for the first time. And hopefully, I'm not going to say it's the last. Well, he'll be around.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I'm sure he'll be popping in and out whenever he can get the chance.
He mentioned to me that he was talking to Nate about potentially designing some stuff in the future, because that won't really require any parts on hand for him. And that's still a bit of a side, you know, passion. So,
and I'm sure Nate would be absolutely thrilled to work with him.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah. He mentioned he was. So Nate is a phenomenal dude. So the podcast I had with him was one of the greatest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really, really nice to get to know him. And I hadn't realized like the scale at which he was operating.
Oh, my God, dude, it's impressive just how much he just jumped from, like, I wouldn't say being like a nobody, but from being somebody who just returned from like a long hiatus away from the community and then kind of jumped in, was starting to get his footing, and then was like, hey, let me just hop on this 3D resin printed stuff. And I feel like he's like the pioneer when it kind of comes to that for the LEGO community. So he kind of just jumped onto that and just made it his own pretty much. And he was just killing it.
Hasn't looked back since.
Yeah, and I'm just surprised he's able to like keep up with everything that's going on too.
I know.
Like running that business, he just got married. I'm sure this is going to come out in a couple weeks, but he got married a couple weeks ago at this point. And he's maintaining.
Yeah, I got him right before he was hitched, so we were talking a little bit.
Yeah, but, bachelor party, a little bit of a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, dude.
He's got to get absolutely. He was talking so much about it. He's like, I don't want it to get away for like, you know, taking this break and a honeymoon and all. Like, I'm worried I'm going to come back and there's nothing. I'm like, bro, like, forget like,
dude,
about
you'll
that.
Be fine. He's going to be gone for like 5 days or something like that. Not too
like,
long.
I'm posting on my story that I won't be here for the whole month, but I'm totally booking orders until the last day.
Like, yeah, that's what it seems like he's doing because he leaves.
Yeah, he's still going. He never stopped. What?
Yeah. Because the day we're recording it is the 17th, and he's leaving tomorrow, and I know he's still doing stuff, and he's still designing, he's still doing stuff. I'm just like, bro, you got to pack, man. You got a lot of stuff to do, but, you know, I'm amazed that he's able to juggle all of that.
Absolutely, and yeah, we were just talking about, I don't know if philosophy of it would be the proper word, but really just getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for him, man. He's really got it for to make it big, and it's going to be awesome to just see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I know, and he's been really great to get to know, especially because me and him do Custom Recap, the podcast, together, and we've been working together on some designs and stuff, and we have like a lot of really great ideas of stuff we want to get into in the future and start investing in once we both get to a point where we're able to like make kind of bigger financial decisions. And
awesome.
We got a lot of exciting stuff in the pipeline that him and I want to work on, but I feel so bad because like he's able to devote like pretty much all his time because this is his full-time gig.
Yeah.
And then I'm over here, I've got like trying to keep up with my page, and then also I've got a full-time job as a chemist, so it's kind of like
kind of hard to
juggle a full-time job and then wanting to pursue this as well. It gets because I'm just like, I want to design all these lightsaber hilts and all these different armor designs and all these different things from the video game Destiny. I've got a lot of ideas. I'm just like, I just have barely any free time to do it. So I feel so bad because like he's putting in so much work, and I feel guilty sometimes because I can't devote as much time as he's able to. And it kind of frustrates me, and it's made me think a lot more about what I want to do in my future. Because this stuff is, like Nate, this is stuff that I love doing. I've always been a customizer, and I've always wanted to create a product for people. And sculpting and getting resin cast of that stuff was kind of like my in, and kind of me feeling around a little bit and be like, okay, this is something pretty cool. And then he's just been giving me a great opportunity to work with him on this type of stuff.
Absolutely. Did you know him before he took his hiatus?
No, not. I think I might have seen his stuff back on Flickr. Because I think you might have mentioned this. Are you a Flickr veteran?
Yeah, a bit. Not a notable like figure or anything, but I was there to witness some legendary figures as they were active.
Yeah, and you know, I was big on that from probably like 2012 to whenever it started to go downhill and Instagram started to take over. Mm-hmm. But I think he might have been on there at some point. I might have seen his stuff because when he came back on Instagram, I was like, this guy's stuff looks familiar, but I don't think I'd ever actually talked to him.
Right.
But he came back with some pretty cool figures, and we started adding him to some group chats and just getting to know him a little more. And then him and I started just talking a lot more probably in the past like 6 months, six or seven, well, probably a little more than that, because we started that we jumped into Boba Lug. I don't know if you're familiar with them, are you?
Yeah.
So we jumped into that together. And so just been great getting to know him ever since he's starting to, you know, rise up from wherever he was before.
Absolutely. Well, but hey, let's not make it all about Nate.
Yeah, I was about to say, you
there's a podcast dedicated to him.
Yeah,
so
really.
If you're interested in more Nate talk, channel.
we'll go over there.
Yeah, no.
Nate's fan club over here.
No, but you're saying on the one that the episode that you did with Nate, he was praising me. So here we got like 10 right. minutes of us praising him for a second.
There we go. And I still think there was something else I meant to mention about him, but we'll move past that.
Yeah, move past
you briefly growing. Mentioned, you know, your start in the community, and that's always where I like to begin the conversation.
Right.
It's just a fitting start, and it always leads into a bunch of areas to explore. So when did you get interested in customizing Lego?
So customizing Lego, I think, came around in like 2010. I want to say 2009, 2010, because I started, I jumped into the community in 2008, because that's when my YouTube channel started. And I was just doing these absolutely terrible, low quality reviews of Lego sets. And I was like 10 at the 9 or 10 at the time. So, you know, you can imagine how awful those videos are.
Of course.
But I didn't start customizing until like a year or so later, and I guess it was the rise of, I guess, the Clone Wars and Star Wars Battlefront 2, like the original PS2 version was around, but I think the big catalyst that made me jump into it was Clone Army Customs.
Right.
Because Tyler from Clone Army Customs used to do like decaled figures, and they're always so expensive. They were like $60 for a figure, and me, I'm like 10 years old, and I was like, I that's more money than I get in a whole year of allowance. So it's like, I can't ever afford anything like that. So I just decided to grab some of my mom's acrylic paint and just start slopping it on some clones. And
so you dive right in the deep end with paint as opposed to Sharpie?
Right into the deep end with paint. Yeah, that's where I started. I was never one of the Sharpie
anomaly.
Guys.
You are an anomaly.
I was never one of the Sharpie guys. And when I started talking to Ross in like 2010, I think, he was a big Sharpie guy, and I kind of was like, hey man, you should start painting because it looks so much better and it doesn't stain your figures if you try to remove the paint because you screw up. So I'm not trying to take responsibility
for
that.
What you're saying is Ross owes you everything for his career and what he's done in the painting community.
I'm not saying it, but you know.
If you know, you know, you know.
Cut me a check, Ross. Just kidding. No, but yeah, he was like one of the first people I started talking to in the community, and that was like 2010. So it's like crazy that I've...
That's way back, man.
Yeah, oh my God, I was so little. I was like 12 at that point. So
that was the first time I ever really saw the wider scope of the Lego community, because in 2010, I went to Brick Fair, Virginia.
Oh my God, yeah.
As just a public, you know, attendee.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, what is, if there's third party? What is this?
Yeah,
Brick
Arms?
Started the slow descent.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't even into the Brick Arms then. I was like, oh, that, because back then it was like huge, huge. So I remember seeing it was like a full square, it wasn't even like a row of tables. They had their own like display section to be, you know, vending at. And it was like three rows deep stacked with people. I couldn't even get in to like take a look.
Oh my God.
I fought my way through just to see what it was, and I was like, ew, guns, whack, and then I left.
You missed out on all of those Brick Arms protos, dude.
For real, man, for real. But yeah, that
just
was
throws
just
me back
slow.
To just wishing I could have gone to Brick Fair when I was that young, because I just remember seeing people post about it all the time on Flickr, them getting all these great Brick Arms prototypes. I'm just like, bro, I'll trade you some like $5 worth of guns for that. You know, stupid kid. But
you planning to attend this year?
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see you there, man.
Oh, awesome. How many years have you been going?
Since 2011 as a private attendee.
Okay.
Yeah, I never missed one until last year.
I don't know if I've met you there before, because I've been going every year since 2013.
Yeah. No, I never really brushed shoulders with the painters and sculptor sort of deal.
You kind of more over by the military guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not to like, you know, bash your crew, but I could never.
No, please do.
I could never like fit in there. Like, I don't know. It just felt way too clicky and a bit more difficult to kind of breach. And military community was where I was kind of working with already. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciated everything that you guys were doing, and I was big fans of like your guys's work. But it was just a lot easier to integrate into the military community, and that's just probably because it's what I was doing.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not some go ahead.
I was close with Josiah, if you remember.
Okay.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. He was pretty close with all of us, too. Him and Bill Bobfull, they were pretty good friends.
Yeah. I saw him around. You know, I
Legends.
Never really had a. I know. What's the deal? Okay, yo, what is the deal with the Billy Bob full praise? And also, it would really throw me off too because we both have the same name. So I'd be at the event and people would be calling Billy, and I'd look around and I'm like, no, nobody's calling me. It's that guy. So...
Right. No, with Billy, I think he was just kind of like. I feel like he was one of the more prominent Flickr customizers of his day, and he was like the first one to really do like, I wouldn't say like heavily sculpted stuff, but he had a very distinct style where he just had like, you know, sculpted hair pieces and sculpted like clothing items and 3D elements like that, which is something people didn't really do for a while because I felt like a lot of people just kind of mimicked the same style of just like, oh, taking official Lego figures and painting over some aspects and just, you know, upgrading them or whatever. And he was like, I don't know if he was one of like the first guys that was really starting to make like his own original stuff, but I think he was like one of the.
He was definitely like, the most prominent.
Yeah, probably one of the most prominent guys out there. And I don't know if you've talked to Billy, but he also has a very like fun attitude about him as well.
I never really had many interactions, but he seemed cool.
He's an interesting guy for sure. And I don't know. I was, you know, close with him at Brick Fair and everything, but I wasn't one of the dudes that like praised him like a god like some other people do. But I'm guessing he was also one of the guys who never used like Apple Barrel paint. He was always using Citadel paint.
The Citadel stuff, sure. Yeah.
And
okay, I'd like to break that down, honestly.
Yeah.
So do all of the painters almost religiously just stick to Apple Barrel?
And it's kind of weird because like I've been using Apple Barrel for, you know, as long as I could remember. That's all I've been really been using just because, you know, you got all these colors. And the biggest thing is that it's cheap because these bottles, these little two fluid ounce bottles are like
99 cents.
Yeah. 50 to 99 cents. Whereas a little jar of Citadel paint can run you between like $3 and $8. So it's like it's one of those things where it's like, oh, easier to access because you can get these at Walmart, whereas Citadel, you got to get them at like a special hobby store. But lately I've been rolling into the Citadel train a little bit because one of my friends, his name is Jared or Jared Figs.
Yeah. Okay.
He's real big in using the Citadel paints on all of his anime figures. He's been doing a lot of like My Hero Academia and
I've been loving those.
Yeah, he'd be one that I'd suggest getting on the podcast because he would definitely love talking about that. And I know he has a good mic, too, so he could definitely fit in well with that type of stuff.
Perfect.
So that will be one of my recommendations to get on.
Thank
here,
you.
Is
Thank
him
you.
For sure.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. But yeah, he kind of started getting me on the Citadel train a little bit just because they have some really good like metallic colors that work well for like armor, especially like battle damage. They have some like really cool technical paints and shade paints that let you get like really nice washes so you don't have to like water down Apple Barrel paint and slather it on. So it's just like, it's almost perfect for Lego customizing and painting sculpts especially, which is exactly what I do. So it's like, how did I not jump on this any sooner?
Are you using the base colors from Citadel too, or are you sticking to Apple Barrel for that?
I'm mainly just using like layers for Citadel just because they have like really nice silvers. That's pretty much all I really use is their silvers and their gunmetals and sometimes their golds. But I have been using the base colors. Like I've just got like a base black that I use from them, and I do have like a base primer from them as well that I've been using. It's a white primer, so it's what I've been using for Tech from the Bad Batch since he's all white, and white paint is absolutely atrocious to work with all the time.
Oh my god!
So it's been a blessing.
I found I can't actually say I found it. A good buddy recommended it to me, but there is a white paint that's actually not atrocious.
Oh yeah,
and I'll turn you on to it. Is it
Model Masters
good.
White?
I can't recall. I'll find one. I'll get you a pick.
I think I have that one somewhere sitting around here, but like that's one people do like, and I've used it a couple times, but it's
the
just
Model Masters things. Acrylic in the glass jar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've bought two or three of those paints. The best one by far, and I gotta buy a new jar of it, was their semi-gloss black.
Okay.
Because it can almost mimic the color of the
like
Brick
Lego
Arms
black?
Guns.
Okay, yeah.
Or printing from digital print.
Mm.
So like if you have boots that aren't printed on the insides, you clean it up with that and you almost can't even tell.
Wow.
So that is like a unparalleled paint. However, because of the glass jars, they totally seal up on me. Like it completely. So I tapped the top of it. I just drilled it out and I have to, it's so bad now. It's so bad because there's so much gunk from me trying to like just, you know, shake it out like a ketchup bottle. So I gotta like,
good Lord.
I have a skewer that I just poke down there and I mix it around and then I pull out the skewer and then I use my brush to take whatever's off the skewer.
Oh my God.
It's terrible. It's terrible. So
a little bit unorthodox, but it works.
If it works, it works. I just, I couldn't be bothered to have to make an order and buy a new one. But
yeah, that's kind of why I kind of stay away from the glass jar stuff in Model Masters. Like I use their flat black and their gloss black sometimes just because they're very smooth and they get the right finishes that I need, but they're just such a pain to work with sometimes. Yeah. Just because I better buy like two jars of the flat black just because it seals up and I just cannot get it open. Like I'll run it under hot water.
Yeah, use I've
pliers
heard the hot
to try
water,
to jam it open and it doesn't work.
Nothing works. I got turned onto it because of Detroitica, Tanner's
work.
Yeah,
Tanner.
He swears by it. And I mean it shows in his results. Like everything's phenomenal and actually handling his mods, that the quality of that paint is like very scratch resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't do it though. I can't deal with the bottles like that. Like he's got way more patience. He's like, yeah, I just, you know, I'll get hot water going and I throw it in. And then I'm like, no, I can't be boiling water at 2 a.m. when I'm painting. I can't be doing this.
Yeah. But Tanner is one of the nicest dudes I've ever met at Brick Fair.
Oh my goodness, he's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, my God. It's... Like the first time I met him, he was like, "Oh, Aaron, I'm such a big fan." I was like, "Tanner, I'm such a big fan." And we're just like fangirling over each other and we're just like squealing like school children and it was amazing.
Oh, absolutely. He is
Mod King.
It's
Mod King
the goat,
for sure.
The yeah. goat.
That dude uses a lathe, doesn't he?
He does, man. He has a mini lathe just to sculpt with his sprues. Well, but carve at them.
That's crazy.
It's unreal. Unreal. And just literally the most humble and caring dude. You couldn't ask for somebody better to be the absolute goat. I mean,
yeah. I hope he comes to Brick Fair this year because
I believe he is. Yeah, you know, we haven't talked about it specifically, but he told me to put something of mine on the side. I got like these new stickers.
Okay.
He's like, put a set aside for me for Brick Fair. So he's definitely coming.
Good.
If all things work out. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. This year is going to be something, man, with a whole year, not a whole year in between.
Yeah.
It's going to be unreal energy this year.
Yeah, it's funny because like in 2019, everybody in my group was kind of just like, oh, we're getting burnt out because everybody's been going for, you know, almost 7 years straight. So everybody's just like, kind of want to take a break next year. And then it was like rolling around time for Brick Fair and everybody was like, I don't want to take a break anymore. I want Brick Fair to happen because we wanted to go. It got canceled since COVID. So it's
of course,
we got our unintentional break. So it's not like we purposefully skipped one. It's like, oh, everybody couldn't go because the thing was canceled. And then this year,
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to blame all of you for that you jinxed it.
Bad juju.
None of my buddies were like, oh, I need a break after this. No.
Yeah.
So that's on you. That's on you that you got your break. But
yeah,
I'm glad.
I guess so. Got what I wanted, unfortunately.
definitely makes us appreciate.
Even though, hey,
we're
trying
more.
To switch it up. We're trying to switch it up towards the event, but didn't work. But I'm glad that they're doing it this year because originally it was private only, and now they just recently switched it to open in public
they
days.
They opened it up to
public,
too.
It's going to be big.
Too.
I feel like
it's going to
be
amazing. It's going to be really great to see.
People are wanting to get out of the house and do stuff, and a Lego convention is perfect for that.
Yeah. No doubt.
So that's going to be fun.
Hopping back real quick to the paint thing, though. Yeah. I still can't believe that like the military community almost exclusively uses and praises Citadel. And then the actual dedicated painter community. just doesn't. Like, I got to dive deeper into this because I'm really seeing the scope at which this not a problem, but like this discrepancy is.
Yeah.
And like, it's there's not one person on either side really that goes against the grain. It's just it's how it is. There's very few outliers.
It's funny how the military community are better customizers than the customizing community. At least when it comes to that. Just because Citadel, it's so nice to work with sometimes. And you get such great finishes on stuff, and I don't ever feel like it's gonna just rip off. Just the technical side. I got some blood kind of paint recently. I went up to Michigan and I went up to a hobby store up there and got
something to the blood gods.
Yeah, something like that. Blood for the blood gods or something like that.
Yeah, blood for the blood
technical
gods.
Paint. And I'm excited to use that for anything. I don't really have anything in mind, but that stuff looks great. And then I got some paint on sealant, like a gloss and a matte sealant to give little areas of finish, because that's one thing I've started to experiment doing, because usually I used to like never seal my figures just because I was like, well, I'm not playing with these. So like they just stand up on a display and that's it. But now I'm just like, I need to start sealing these things to like work with finishes. So I've been working with like making certain things gloss, certain things matte, and it's been really fun to work with. And that's what I've been doing. A lot of my Bad Batch figures, I've been doing like a matte sealant over all of them to give them that kind of dry look like they have in the show. And then I've been using like gloss paints for the visors and gloss finishes for the visors to make them pop out and make them look, you know, reflective.
Ooh, that's interesting that you would use both. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you definitely would tell that on the visor it has a matte finish. So to... Are you using a spray-on for both of those? Well, you couldn't use it if you were just going to applicate it onto the visor, unless you tape everything.
For the matte finish, I've been using Krylon matte finish. It's just some, like, sealant I got at Michael's. And it does
I used the Rust-Oleum version, but same difference.
Probably the same exact thing. Probably the same exact thing that they're just selling to different manufacturers.
You've got a point there.
But yeah, that, and then I've been using, what is this, Americana Duraclear Satin Varnish. It's like a paint-on thing I got at Hobby Lobby. Comes in a little 2-fluid-ounce jar thing or bottle.
Oh,
been
I using that. Might be using the same exact thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought it forever ago. I don't know the name, but it was, like, very fancy looking.
Yeah, and so I've just been using that and just to paint that on small little areas, and so that's been working out for me. But now I'm switching over to Citadel to start getting all of this cheap stuff out of the way.
That's great. So yeah, do the painters not, like, care that it's going to scratch off? Like, I would think out of everybody, they would care the most.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I don't know how many people, like, seal their stuff, like, completely. Some people might, but some people just might not. And I imagine there's quite a few people out there that don't do it. I'm just curious about when people are going to start jumping up on the Citadel train here, because it seems like a lot of people are jumping on like the resin printed game. So maybe switching
maybe
over
that's
to Citadel.
The next trend. Yeah,
maybe that's the next trend, hopefully. And Jerd Figgs will be leading the charge, because he's been probably the most prominent dude since Billy that's been using those, at least like vocally to an extent.
Right. Man, I've been using a matte clear for all of my mods, especially commission work, just so that they get something that doesn't break on them. And there was an issue with the paint that I had, and then I, you know, clear coated, and then I realized, and I went to scratch off the clear coat, and I realized how good the clear coat is.
Yeah,
it gave me a lot more confidence.
Yeah.
Gave me a lot more confidence in putting this clear coat on, because I'm like, oh my God, I literally cannot remove this. Like...
I did that.
So clear coating really is, it's something.
Yeah, I've done that before. I was like painting a head and I sealed it with a gloss sealant, since Lego print kind of has like a gloss feel.
Right.
And it was on a flesh head. And so I couldn't really tell the difference. So I was like, oh, there's a little blemish I need to fix up. And I tried scraping off with a toothpick and just did not work. And I was like really mad, because I was like, well, damn, now this head is like ruined just by this little blemish here that I cannot get off.
Oh, man. All right. I don't even know where we hopped off the train.
Yeah,
I
think we're talking about Billy or something. Or
something.
A lot of stuff got talked about.
But yeah, so you started off in the community. You started
That's where it was.
Yeah, yeah. It's always how it goes. You just get on that train and then quickly derails. You started off with the YouTube channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then doing some reviews, got into customizing, taught Ross everything he knows.
Pretty much, yeah.
So how were the Flickr years for you? Did they treat you well? Did you really get into the
community?
Yeah, man,
I miss them. I miss the Flickr years, yeah. Because I started Flickr, I don't even remember when. It was probably, I think I said like 2012 or 2013 or whatever.
Something around there.
But I don't know if you remember this guy. He was prominent in the military community, and especially in the World War II community, because that was like huge back when I was jumping on. I was like really young and really liked Call of Duty World at War and Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers, and I was like, oh hell yeah, this stuff looks great. And saw this dude called the Ranger of Awesomeness. Does that name ring a bell?
Surprisingly, it does not.
I'll have to send you some of his stuff then, because he just had these amazing builds and I was just super inspired to join. I never did any builds, but I just love seeing all these different World War II builds and tanks and stuff. So I jumped on there. My first Flickr posts are actually World War II related stuff, but they're all what you'd expect out of the building skill level of like an 11-year-old. So
for one, the Flickr search feature worked and I got to find his profile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never seen him before, actually.
Well, yeah, I think he left like pretty soon after I joined. Yeah, it's been a long time.
That's his last post.
Yeah. So it's been a while, and I missed that I wasn't there for like when he was around, but yeah, that was like where I started and why I jumped onto Flickr, and then I would just, you know, casually just post all my crappy customs at the time, and then I started to, I guess that's when like more customizers started jumping on to Flickr, because before there wasn't a lot. It was like Ross, and there was like a few others on there, like Billy, I imagine, was one of the originals on there, but there weren't too many on there at the time. And then more and more people started showing up, and I just started meeting so many more people on there. And that's like all of my friend group that I've met like in the LEGO community has been from Flickr pretty much.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just like, I wish we could go back, because Flickr's got such, you know, a great photo feature where everything is super HD and looks super crisp. And you know, Instagram's great because it has like the more social function of being able to, you know, have like a big page and, you know, basically run a business almost and talk more with people. And Instagram, and Flickr's just, you know, photo sharing. It's not, there's not really a lot of social aspect about it other than comments and the occasional Flickr mail.
Mm. Or the notes on the page and stuff like
that. I remember the notes. Yeah. The notes were big, especially when you're putting up trade pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Circle the Brick Arms prototype ray gun that you'd want, and then they'd reply back saying, no, not for you.
Did you not for trade. Did you get much into Brick Arms collecting at all? Because you talk about it quite a bit.
A little bit. I collected the AC-8 rifle. I had like crap loads of different colors of that with a bunch of different camo variants. And I still have them somewhere. They're all buried, and I have no use for them anymore.
But then, some big money, probably.
Yeah, maybe. I have no idea. But then I also have a bunch of prototypes too, like some like rare ones too that will never make.
Oh man, I'd love to see photos if you ever find it.
Yeah, one of them that I have in mind is from. Have you seen Akira?
Oh yeah, the Akira, right?
Yeah, the heavy laser cannon. Launcher? Yeah, I think is what they call it. Yeah, that and the viewfinder. I have that, which is something that they'll never make.
That is really rare.
So that's like my prized one, and then I've got like, you know, the overmolded Spartan lasers and the aluminum tubed rocket launcher from Halo. Mm,
from Halo, yeah, that's awesome.
And then just that's a lot of other small ones here and there. They're all in a bag somewhere, so I gotta dig them out.
But that's great.
Yeah, I was around for that, and it was funny how you could use those as like currency back in the day.
Yeah.
What a wild time!
Absolutely. So then you get onto Instagram. You know, skipping ahead a bit.
Yeah, a couple years.
Yeah, just a few. How did you like the platform on there?
It was interesting.
Since you know, joining, you've grown a sizable page. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was definitely something to get used to, because I was not even wanting an Instagram. One of my friends from the Flickr community was like, "Yo, you should jump on this right now," because like he was like seeing everybody shift over there. And I was like, I don't care about Instagram. It's just where people post pictures of their food or whatever. And I was never like big into it. And then one Brick Fair, I finally got convinced to do it. And, you know, here we are. And it's been, you know, obviously I think I like Instagram a little more than Flickr, even though Flickr does have, like, I miss it. And I miss the HD photos.
It's got
and
the
stuff.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Just because, you know, it inspired people to like have really cool photos and take really good photos, where I feel like Instagram's kind of just like you post a quick fig and get the likes and that's kind of it. Like, I feel like Instagram is more of a numbers game than it is, you know, sharing your stuff sometimes. I feel like a lot of people get caught up on that.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Overall, you know, it's been great for like community involvement and interaction and just meeting people, because, you know, I've met you through there. I met Nate through there, and plenty of other customizers that weren't even on Flickr that started on Instagram, like Speedy Bricks and Tossy Figs and all these guys that I didn't really like know, like maybe I'd heard of them, but, you know, being able to talk to them more on there has been great.
Totally. Is Tossy actually a girl?
I don't believe so. I'm not exactly sure, because that might have been like a stunt or something. I'm not gonna like assume that they are a girl or a boy, just because, you know, it could be
of course.
Of those things.
To be respectful.
But yeah, I mean, and if it is a stunt, I'm not gonna be the one to like expose them for it, just because I don't know. So, very good question. Very good question, though.
It was just such an interesting twist, and then I heard from some people that they're like, they had known him for a while, them for a while, and they're like, no, they're a guy, and then I've heard the opposite, and I'm just like, who knows? But the comment section on that post is hysterical.
Yeah, and that's what I think it might have been for. It might have been for just being a thirst trap for some younger customizers to get in there and just read funny comments and stuff.
Oh, goodness.
They're just riding it at this point, but...
There was one of those. There was like a... I wish I could remember the name, but it was some World War II kid had created an alt a trap account, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, female World War II Lego builder or whatever the case was. And like, it was getting so many just ridiculous DMs. it was funny.
Of course. So that might have been what that was about, but I'm not going to say for sure. I've never talked to them like voice to voice. So like, I cannot confirm one way or the other. That's why like on custom recap, whenever Nate and I talk about Tossie, we just try to refer to them as Tossie, just out of respect for not actually knowing, because nobody really does, I guess. I imagine some people do, but
hey, it's got people talking about it.
Yeah.
Either way, if it is a troll, huge respect for committing to it, because
really,
they're still going strong. And also, I absolutely love their work. There's some
one of the best painters I've seen, and
it's like unreal.
The best at getting likenesses that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they do it. If they analyze just like face structure, I think actually they post on their story that, they look at like caricatures of certain characters or whatever. And then that, cause a caricature really highlights the prominent features. Yeah. The prominent features in someone's face. So then Tossie just takes that and translates that in the Lego. And that's, I guess, how they're able to do it. Cause you know, I'd know no other way. Cause that crap is just amazing.
That is genius.
I can't get likenesses that good. I had Tossie do some likenesses for me. Cause I was like, I need these figures to look good, and I want you to help me make them. So
that's awesome. Yeah. They're painting faces is a whole other level. I can't even begin to imagine that.
Right. So definitely one of the best like face painters out there that I've seen, but there's so many other like great painters in the community. I think my favorite is probably, Anon Figs. He's really good.
Yes.
And, Benson Bone is, those two are like some of my favorites. And then Speedy Bricks too. Those are like top three in terms of just like overall like sculpting ability and painting ability. Just incredible.
Oh, I've never heard of Benson Bone before.
You might have seen some of his stuff, but he is one of the most like genuinely nice dudes I've ever talked to. And he's so talented. I'll have to send you some of his stuff because he'd be probably willing to do this podcast as well. But just some
awesome.
Of the,
yeah, no, I just found their page. I've never seen them before.
Yeah.
There's some really awesome stuff here.
One thing great about some of his stuff is just how like innovative a lot of his work is, because he tries to implement like functionality in some of his figures. Mm. Like he did General Grievous from the 2003 Clone
Wars.
I've seen
his, the Marshall figure. I saw that one. That was tremendous.
Marshall, like Cobb Vanth from Mandalorian or?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Cobb Vanth.
Yeah, that's a good one. He did a Boba Fett from like the McQuarrie concept. And there's like an action figure of it where the stomach opens up and you can shoot a rocket out of it. And so he put a flick or like a little spring loaded shooter in there. So then you can take off the front plate and put a little rocket in there and shoot it out. Just one of the craziest things I've ever seen done in a figure.
That is amazing. I vaguely recall seeing that like a long time ago.
Yeah, it was part of the Boba Lug collab we did where we all made different Boba Fetts. And that was, that was his. And it's probably my favorite out of those just because of how. Just including that little piece of functionality is crazy.
Yeah, right.
You don't see a lot of people doing that. And it's like the innovation that he does is something that like I strive to try to do in some of my stuff just because it's so creative.
No doubt. All right. I had one question about, you know, kind of in a similar fashion to your podcast with Nate, you know, turning on to some creators that you really enjoy and kind of just hit that off without trying.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of that podcast is to just showcase other people's work that the YouTube community might not see. Because I feel like when like a lot of people in the customizing community, especially in the like the YouTube scene, when they think of customizer, they just think of Ross and that's it. Which, you know, Ross is a very talented painter, especially. But, you know, there's plenty of other people out there that are like, you know, really good at painting and probably like better on some degrees. And it's a shame that they don't get a lot of like notoriety for it just because they're so talented and they deserve more recognition. So that's what we try to do is like just highlight, hey, there's this huge community of customizers over here that these people would probably like to see if they're not a part of that community already.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're following your YouTube channel, you're going to like these people. Like yeah. you're already involved in a way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a great thing you guys are doing there. I've listened to, I believe, the first one entirely, and I've dabbled in the second. I've got to listen to the most recent one you guys put out.
Yeah. We got to record another one here soon because we've got like a really big backlog of stuff we need to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure.
The both of us have been so busy with work, and you know, Nate especially is granted a little more hectic than I've been recently. So we've kind of had to push it off and focus on other stuff right now. But yeah, we've got a lot of other just great figures we got to go over.
Yeah, we were talking about a bit about the benefits of having a co-host to keep you accountable. So
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely better because he used to do it by himself. He had a couple episodes that he'd post, I think, on his YouTube and then also on like Instagram.
IGTV.
Yeah, IGTV. Yeah, he'd post a couple of them on there. And he, you know, I think they're like relatively quick, like maybe like 15 minute blurbs. And he would just like talk about a figure, say one thing about it and kind of move on. And he stopped doing them for a while. And I started talking to my buddy Dylan, the Moose Figs, about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah.
Is he still active?
Oh, absolutely. Well, his main Instagram got deleted by Instagram. And so he's been operating on a different one now. He's almost amassed the same amount of followers that he had beforehand. But he goes by
Dylan the Most?
Dylan All the Most now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's been bopping up over there. Yeah. He was like a big fan of that format of just talking about other people's figures and give them a shout out. So I was like, oh, cool. I was like debating at the time, like that'd be something cool that I'd like to do. And Nate at the time wasn't doing it. And then Nate DMs me out of the blue and he's like, hey, I want to bring this back. Do you want to be on it with me? And I was like, hell yeah, that'd be so much fun.
That's perfect.
So that's what, you know, we started doing. And so it's been great having like a co-host on there. It gets a little hectic when there's three people though.
Yeah. And, yeah. You mentioned that.
Cause we had Dylan on there for, I think, episode 3. And like, it was just hard because when you talk about a figure, you're like looking at it and you just want to say like everything you like about it. And odds are the other two people will say the same thing because they're probably thinking the same thing as you are.
Yeah.
So it gets kind of repetitive to a degree. So I don't know.
And not being in person, it's hard to, you know, go off body language cues and figure out who speaks next and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was getting a little bit of a challenge. And so me and Nate were kind of just like, okay, I don't know if we want to do another guest on like custom recap, but maybe start doing like a customizer spotlight thing where we kind of, you know, interview them and just ask for their like perspective on how they make figures. It'd be like pretty quick stuff. So it'd be like quick, you know, like 15 minute videos other than, you know, like an hour long kind of interview style thing like that. So it's something we've been playing around with that we want to do, but just haven't really had enough time to really fully plan out and explore. But it's definitely something that we'd like to do because there's a lot of people out here that we talk about their figures, but we don't really like know exactly what their strategy behind it was that I think they'd be able to explain a little better than we could.
No doubt. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I look forward to it. So one of my favorite things that you've created is working on some musical artists, especially because they're from more independent, they're a bunch of independent artists that I've just come to love myself. And then I'm like, oh my God, like this person's not only a fan, but is creating Lego figures after them. And I felt like for the longest time, music artists, they weren't really represented in what people were creating.
Yeah.
So I found it really refreshing that not only like, A, you're paying attention to making them, B, they're artists I love and care about, and C, I forgot what my C was, but there was another point. What got you involved with starting to make some musical artists?
Oh man, that's a great question, but I'm glad you asked it because doing the music stuff has been something that I've really loved doing just because it's a nice break from like heavy sculpt work and making Star Wars figures. Because like I love Star Wars. It's always going to be like my number one passion, but man, it gets boring sometimes and just drains me. So trying to think of what really started it all. I'm trying to remember what the very first one I made back. I think I had seen some like album covers that people were selling at Brick Fair on like tiles and stuff. And I was like, oh
okay.
I think that'd be pretty cool to make a figure of that or something like that and like recreate an album cover. So I did that with the Beatles, and I did that with Chance the Rapper back like a couple years ago. And so that was like the first two projects that I really did. And I recreated the album covers and it turned out pretty good. But then recently I just started getting into more like kind of indie alternative stuff. And they have some like really cool album covers. And I was like, that'd be something that'd be really cool to try to recreate some of my favorite album covers and get them printed. Cause I have like a little record room build that I haven't showed off yet that has all of the tiles like on a wall.
Oh man. So do you have extras of the tiles? Cause I'm
not yet, but I want to get them printed because
do
you know Hyon Bricks or Fig Factory?
Yeah, of course, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, so he was the one that printed all those for me, and I want to see if he can get some done maybe before Brick Fair. I think it might be a little too tight now, but at some point I'd love to get duplicates or, you know, several of each printed up so then I can sell them to people because I know people would want them.
I'm putting down for the pre-order right now.
Okay.
I need it.
Yeah, it kind of just all sprouted from me wanting to create album covers. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll just make, you know, the figures to go along with it. And so I just started doing that with the covers. And then that led me into just doing, okay, I just want to kind of make some of my favorite musicians to have them displayed up. Which one's caught your eye? I'm curious.
Oh, my absolute favorite is Because the Internet, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of my favorite albums of all time. And it also makes me envy you painting that Hawaiian shirt because I hope to one day get to that level.
That thing was definitely annoying. I remember just painstakingly doing that.
So yeah, that one definitely stands out for me.
That was like one of the first ones that I did, like, because I started doing that right at the start of quarantine, I think, just because I was home from school because we got yeeted off campus. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll start working on these album covers and stuff. So he was like the very first one that I made, like in, I guess, like the new wave of stuff that I started working on last year.
That's great.
Yeah, he turned out pretty good. I was really happy with him. And then I think the one I was really, really proud of was the Blonde cover, Frank Ocean.
Yes, the posing came out so good too.
Yeah, that was my first time kind of trying out a posed figure, because a lot of people in the community do like statue figures with cool poses and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna like cheapishly Photoshop this arm in there to be bent like that. So I was like, I'm gonna have to sculpt this arm. And so I did, and I think it turned out pretty good, and I was really happy with that. And I have that one printed out on like a 12x12 that's in my room on my wall.
Really? That's so good.
Yeah.
Did you add it on the water or you sprayed it on?
I sprayed it on a little spray bottle. Yeah.
That's great.
I was like, I need to have this little practical effect in there because that is not going to be easy to Photoshop on there.
I'm looking at it now. I just realized that the background's 1x1 tiles.
It is, yeah.
That's so good.
I ordered
man.
Like 50 of them off of BrickLink just for that picture. It probably only used like 12 of them in the background.
Right. Only 12 get shown. But
yeah, pretty much. But
yeah, I'm such a huge fan of what you're doing with those. I just realized maybe it was intentional or not. Oh man, I wish I could figure out in time what the person's Instagram is. But there was this Instagram I came across of this guy making mini canvases.
Ooh, Matt Acrylic.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
And after discovering his page, that inspired me to paint some albums on 2x2s.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
It went surprisingly well, and I really enjoyed it. But I got to dive deeper into it.
Which ones did you do?
I did, what's it called? I did for a buddy of mine, Amaze Bricks, Xander, Lil Uzi Vert's.
Oh, nice.
What's it called? The perfect Lil Uzi Vert tape.
Okay.
I got you. I'll find you a photo real quick.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Uzi guy, but I'm familiar.
Understandable. All right, there it is. I'm going to send you it. I did that, and I did 808s and Heartbreak, but 808s and Heartbreaks is super simple, so
yeah,
there's not much to go off on that.
Oh, that's sick, man. That turned out great.
I was surprised. I was really happy with that, so I want to experiment with
more. Clean. Yeah, you got to do more of those.
A lot more difficult ones that aren't just... what I want to do, the reason I did the 808s and Heartbreak is that I want to do Kanye's full discography.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We'll get onto that eventually.
Have fun doing all the little pixels on Dark Fantasy.
Oh goodness,
that's gonna be a fun one.
Unless I just do the uncensored version.
Yeah. Well, hey, Jesus is King will be pretty easy.
True. Or Yeezus.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not really. If I really want to get technical with it and make like,
yeah, I might have some like weird shades to the record. In it. Jesus is King. You could literally just use like a
blue,
like yeah, just blue 2x2 round tile or something like that. That'd be easy. You can make Donda too and just have him holding nothing because it's never gonna come out.
Goodness, or Yeezus.
What yeah, or,
no, Yandi.
Yandi, yep. Poor Kanye.
Man, he's down bad right now. It's not even funny.
Yeah. That dude, I almost met him one time because he came to where I went to school. I went to school in Dayton, and Dave Chappelle lives in Dayton and was throwing
really?
a huge like block party. And Kanye showed up and was just like strolling around downtown Dayton with Kim and the kids. And apparently they walked because on UD's campus, they have like a student neighborhood. And apparently they just walked through one of the streets and like people saw them, but didn't like nobody made a ruckus about it because people were just like, is that fucking Kanye West? Yeah. Is that Kanye West? Like, no, people just dumbstruck about it. But apparently he came through campus or something and walked through the streets and nobody really knew. And then he was, you know, he was performing. He was doing like his Sunday service at this block party. And I was like, damn, and it was free to go. But like you had to get tickets still and the tickets were all gone. So
gone,
I couldn't go.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really sick, though.
Could have been close.
It would have been close. Before we move on from the musical members, I just want to mention Hers.
Yeah.
You perfectly captured their likeness, and that's honestly one of the most tragic stories I've heard.
Yeah, I would take responsibility, but those are the figures that Tossie did the likenesses
on. Oh, right. Yeah. I recall that. Yes.
Yeah.
So you did the torsos and
I
she
did,
just
yeah,
handled
torsos
the faces?
And the guitar and the bass and all of the, like the hair and the hat and everything. But Tossie, I was like, I want these figures to be like perfect just because just out of respect for them and just, you know, wanting those figures to be like perfectly capturing them. I wanted the likenesses to be good. So that's why I reached out to Tossie. He was like, hey, please do these. And Tossie did like a great job on them.
Yeah. But, unbelievable job.
Yeah. Just
that was a great call.
Yeah.
Collab like that.
Yeah, but, you know, those guys, like, they're one of my favorite bands. I feel bad because I, like, you know, discovered them after they had passed.
And... Oh, you're such a poser.
No, but, yeah, they're probably some of my favorite figures I've ever made just because, like, I love the faces on them and I love their outfits. They look so unique amongst all my other figures that are just, like, Star Wars stuff.
Right,
and
yeah.
So, and they look great amongst all the musicians because all of the musicians that I've made all look very different from one
they
another
do,
and are very... distinguishable, I think. So they're some of my favorites for sure. And I'm happy that you kind of knew who they were too.
Yeah, you haven't posted one yet that I didn't know already and was
really?
Already a fan of. So
nice.
Hey, maybe one day you'll break that streak.
Maybe.
And,
well, hey, I'll
turn
ask
me
you
on
this.
To something new.
Do you listen to The Marias?
The Marias. That sounds familiar, but no.
Yeah, well, she's my
That's
next
one. That's the next
one? Yeah, the lead
That's
singer
the
is my
one.
Next one
know?
That I want to make because they've got an album coming out June 25th. Their like debut album. And so I want to make might have it done by the time this episode goes up.
I actually might not have even heard of them before, quite honestly.
Yeah, but I imagine like if you listen to like alternative stuff, like if you've listened to like Claro, then you've probably heard their songs on like Spotify playlist or like
on
a radio mix
radio.
Based on them. Yeah. So you might have heard one of their songs and be like, oh,
well,
yeah, I kind of recognize it.
I'm going to check out Super Clean Volume 1.
Yeah.
Seems like they're... only full length sort of
but
deal,
yeah they've
so.
Got yeah volume one and volume two are like their
oh
kind
and
of,
volume two
yeah cool. kind of like their smaller EPs and they got a few singles out now for the album that are both pretty good but yeah
awesome.
I'm excited for that.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the figures I'm like the figure I want to make is wearing like a fur jacket and I don't know how to do that yet. I've been playing with the idea of using like faux fur that I got off of Amazon and just making a jacket and like gluing it onto like I'll have to like sand down the arms a lot and glue this fur onto it because it's not something I could paint and capture the look of and it's not something I could sculpt and capture the look of.
What if you did like the ball joint arms so that they're kind of floating a bit?
Yeah, so I was thinking about doing that just because I don't want them like pressing down on the fur because it's going to really mat it down. So I was probably going to do like magnets or the ball joint.
Oh, magnets would be really creative as well.
Yeah, and those are pretty loose too, so you can easily move them around, but they're still going to stay on there. So that's actually a good idea. That's actually a good idea. So I might go with that. So thank you for recommending that.
You're welcome. I'm actually kind of blown away with the magnets idea though, because if you just what you would be able to do is just shove it right into the, you know, armhole on the torso. And then you wouldn't actually need to cut the hole for the arm to go into, which would make the cloth like seamless.
Mm-hmm. That would be really I guess cool. you could make like an actual legit jacket if I wanted to, but that is like some like micro level, like tailoring that I cannot do because I do not know how to
like
do
legitimate
that.
Tailoring. Yeah.
Legit sewing clothes for my Legos.
I'm trying to recall. I was just talking to Griff about something that I might literally have to sew together.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was... I got one of Pete's Customs resin droids.
Okay.
And I want to make him... Like, I put a trench coat on him from, like, Cape Madness. And I'm like, oh, that looks really cool, but it'd cool
There's no
be better
arms.
If he had... Yeah, if it had sleeves. And then I was like, huh.
Have fun matching that cloth type, because I have no idea what type of cloth
Dude,
Cape Madness uses
I,
for that.
God only knows, man. The best bet for Lego cloth is using Lego cloth.
Yeah.
That's the best solution I've found.
Even so, I've just been used to using Cape Madness stuff just because, like, I know how to work with it, know how to paint it, know how to make sure it doesn't fray at this point. So, like, I prefer that over Lego cloth, like, 99% of the time. And the only time I use Lego cloth is when I'm out of Cape Madness cloth. Which sucks, because Cape Madness's store is, like, still not up and running yet.
Yeah,
they have
still
a website.
MIA.
Yeah, and so, like, I ordered from him back in, like, December, and I was just like, hey, man, I need some cloth. And he was just, I just emailed him, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, give me 3 large sail pieces. And he was like, okay. So I ordered these 3 large sails from him, and I've just been cutting from them and using
from
them
it, right.
As water,
that's,
yeah.
That's really smart. I'm gonna have to consider that next time he's up and running, like, official.
Yeah.
But, like, I've known that some people were reaching out for, like, bulk orders to make some stuff, like, serious, and just getting left on red and sort of, or like they get one email back and then they can't follow through to finalize things.
Yeah, I was surprised I was able to do it pretty easily, because I know some people have been having that issue, but you know, I did it a while ago. So who knows? Maybe he's not really doing custom orders anymore unless it's, like, small.
Who knows?
I just hope
he comes back.
One other third party guy that's been kind of MIA is Tiny Tactical. What's up with him?
Oh, so that guy is, a solo act. He does it all on his own, but he has a full-time job already.
Oh, really? Steve,
so
right? Is that his name?
Steve. Yeah. He's a super, super nice guy.
Yeah. I've had very minimal interaction with him when I've just, like, been chatting with him in emails, and he seemed very nice, but it's, like, been so long since I've ever ordered from them, just because, like, all I want are, like, glove tops, and they're always out of stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The deal with him is, he's up in Canada. So, the long shipping times is that he waits until there's a bunch of orders, and then he goes across the border and sends them in the US.
Right.
And then also, just who knows with his personal life and then having a full-time job to manage this as a part-time gig. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of demand, so it gets difficult, I'm sure.
I imagine that's got to be tough doing that, though, with COVID and everything, because I don't even know if Canada
it slowed
has...
down, it slowed down heavily once the cough hit.
Yeah, I thought... like Canadian travel that was like for, you know, just casual, like was restricted or prohibited, like, to be able to cross the border into the US if it was non-essential. So I wonder if he's been able to get through that, or if
he's
just
only
been shipping from Canada, or if he's even doing anything.
No, he's gone from the US, but it's only been like once or twice since, you know,
really?
The past year or so. From what I know, just seeing what people order and that people are actually getting orders, I only recall like one or two waves of stuff getting
out. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's able to come back soon, because I know there's a lot of people that really
enjoy
stuff.
There's such a huge demand. No, I'm a big fan, man. He's got unmatched quality for what he does.
For real. So. Like the quality of the plastic and then just the molds too, and just how small
they
are.
You know what kind of plastic he uses?
Is it? It's not ABS, is it? It's got to be something strong.
No, not at all. It's the same sort of plastic that's in the grip of a Glock. Like the polymer.
Really?
It's that same plastic.
Wow.
Or so I've been told. I don't know
it makes
what
sense.
The sources are.
It makes sense for him
to
use that.
And it's very fitting for military,
Yeah. That's so funny. But it's durable.
No doubt.
It's so crisp, too. Like that's
but it's also kind of brittle in a weird way as well.
It's like
weird
you can't
to work
break
with
it, but
when
you do, it shatters type of deal.
When you cut into it, you realize it's not my favorite plastic to work with, but the quality alone, if you're gluing it at all, top notch.
Yeah. And I was going to say, it's kind of like resin too, because I guess with resin, you can't like make a smooth cut through it. It's like you make a slice and you got to chop all the way down. It's going to break it right on that slice. Mm-hmm. And if you mess up, then you mess up. Like that thing is breaking into a million pieces.
Yeah. I'd heard recently just to heat it up a little bit and then make your cut on resin. I've yet to try that out, but...
Yeah, because I know heating it up makes it a little softer, so you can probably slice it like a birthday cake.
Yep.
But something I got to try. I'm not really too pressed. The only thing I've really had to do that for is I got some of AV's backpacks for his Bad Batch, and I don't like using neck pegs because I just glue them onto the back. So I've just like literally just snapped the back peg off, and you know, it works fine because it's like that's a weak point of it. So it just snaps it right there and it works pretty good.
That's great.
I know Andrew's probably cringing on the inside hearing that, but that's when you got people like me that don't do decals and are just like, I'm painting this shit. He's another guy that started pretty small and just ramped up to being.
He blew up out of nowhere, it feels like. It was overnight success almost.
I think it probably just started from the decal demand because he was like one of the only decalers left. And then now it's like he's the go-to guy. Like his stuff, whenever I see decals, I'm just like, I honestly couldn't tell if that's Andrew's or somebody else's at this point. Probably bad to say because I imagine decalers can say that about painted figures and we get pissed off. But to not discredit anybody else, but like he's definitely one of the biggest guys and also a very nice guy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've kind of I wanted to ask you one specific music question.
Yeah,
what have you been listening to lately? What's something you could turn somebody else on to besides the Marias?
Well, a lot of like, let me pull up my Spotify real quick because I've got that here, but the Marias has been like big go-to. My friend Andy delta.png, he's one of the other customizers that I'm really good friends with. He's he's a big fan of Phoebe Bridgers, so he's got me listening to her a little bit.
She's great.
Yeah.
Right now, have you heard of Adrian Lanker or Big Thief?
The Big Thief, yes, I've heard of Big Thief. I like Paul by them a lot.
Oh,
I think
there's
another song that I really like by them.
They're possibly one of my favorite groups. Brockhampton?
I was going to say Brockhampton.
Are we going to talk Brockhampton?
Yeah, go ahead.
The latest album, all bangers, bro.
Yeah, I was very happy with how Roadrunner came out. And Jerd Figgs, he's another big Brockhampton fan. Did you see his Brockhampton figures that he made?
Yes, his album covers were phenomenal.
Yeah. I got all those printed for him, too. I had Chris do all of those. So
I'll pre-order on those, too.
Yeah, I'm sure Jared would be willing to throw those up. But yeah, that was a great album. Like, at first, I was kind of just like, wow, that was pretty good. But like, the more I listen to it, the more I'm just like, wow, that's...
Totally agree.
Yeah, and I'm also, totally I collect vinyl and stuff on the side, just as another, you know, endless money pit.
I want to get into vinyl so bad. I've gotten two now as a gift, and it's so tough. I can't take up another plastic addiction.
Yeah,
not
I know. Yet. And that's like, how kind of I am. I buy very selective vinyl at this point. And so when they put up Roadrunner up for pre-order a couple days ago, and they put two versions up. There's like one that comes with like the normal cover and with like the CD case or whatever and Joba on the front, and it's got like a white disc, and then they have like a black disc that's in like an alternate cover that's like a deep blue and it looks really cool, and one of them is exclusive and one's the normal one. I was like, I cannot decide, so I ordered them both.
No.
I was like, that's $75 I'll never see again. It's not coming out till 2022 at some point.
Oh man.
Yeah. That was a great album. What's your favorite track off of it?
Probably Windows.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite too.
It's so good.
Merlin's got such a good verse on
that. He's so insane on that.
Yeah, and then
I started off listening to it. Like they were all really good, solid songs. Mm-hmm. But for me, I listen to like a lot of random stuff, and then it's like if it doesn't catch me right off the bat, I'll just kind of move on. And this one, like I listened the first week as it came out, I'm like, yeah, that's good, and then it got shelved.
Yeah.
And then it came up. It was like, hey, from Spotify, like jump back in. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And then it's been downhill. It hasn't left the rotation since. Oh, man.
I think that's probably been the album that I've listened to like the most of theirs, just like front to back. Because like with Ginger, I really liked Ginger. I know some people didn't, but like I listened to like the first half and then kind of drop off from there. But this album, it's been like the full thing front to back, like no skips, nothing. And just, listen to it, and I've probably listened to it like 50 times at this point. It's been that
between
good.
Iridescence and Ginger, both of those I would just find the tracks I like and pick through.
Yeah, that's kind of how
all
I
the
am
saturations
with...
I could just listen cover to cover because I wouldn't go. I want to get into like making playlists for myself to listen off of, but like it's so much work and I never do, so I'll just like what's kind of the vibe I'm looking for,
right.
And then I just pick an album and I just play that. And then, you know, move on. But
Yeah, that's kind of how I was for a while, and then I was like, okay, I need to start making playlists that like have a certain vibe, because I've got like one that's like very specific. It's like nighttime driving while it's raining out. It's like stupid crap like that that work.
That's great.
But yeah, that's been probably the stuff I've been listening to the most is, well, that album. That album's been kind of like simmering down a little bit for me, just because I've been kind of on the Maria's hype train for the new album recently. But I can always jump into some Brockhampton.
Yeah, it's always on the back burner. It's always there for us.
Oh, another good one is Men I Trust. Do you listen to them?
Oh my God, Forever Live Sessions. I just was listening.
Amazing.
In the car. It's literally in my here. I'm gonna send you a photo because it's literally in my my what you know just recently played up there.
That album, dude, is so good, and I got that on vinyl as well for Christmas.
It's unreal.
But it's funny because like with the record I ordered of that, like they signed some of them, and so like I'd put it on my Christmas list or whatever, and I asked my mom, I was like, did you buy this? She's like, maybe. And I was just like, can you see if it's signed for me, please? Because I want to know. It's not, but it would have been really cool if it was. Yeah. I got the Maria's album signed, though. I was able to.
Hey.
Yeah, so that's going to be good. So when you listen to them, you'll.
Yeah, then I'll be like, I'll be jelly. Man, what sucks is I was so looking forward to getting into going to concerts and live shows. And then.
Corona.
You know. Yeah. But
have you been
to
many concerts at all?
Not really. I've been to like one or two with my family, but it wasn't something I wanted to go to necessarily. Like it wasn't a band I was solely passionate about. Yeah. So that's what I was looking forward to, because this kind of hit right as I was gaining, you know, independence. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. I'll go to like small shows. And here I am not going to small shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, things are starting to open up a little more. So I imagine it's going to be a little more accessible. I mean, I've only been to like two concerts, two notable ones. I saw ELO.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Then I saw Logic, which is
Oh, boy.
Went through that phase, like, early college, late high school, and now it's like, never listen to Logic ever again.
Never again.
But it was a fun show.
I liked Logic when it was just the Bobby Tarantino. I got into him there.
Yeah.
And that was a solid album, and then,
When I went
it had
to see
its
him,
time for me, and that was it.
When I went to see him, it was on his tour of like the second Bobby Tarantino mixtape he dropped, because like everything after that wasn't great. And so wasn't in that era of Logic, thankfully, but he retired, and I hear he's probably coming back from something he's announced. So the world is not ready for more Logic.
The world doesn't need more Logic.
No, it's surpassed the need.
There's plenty of Logic to go around.
You know,
eternity.
I know he likes like nerdy stuff. So, what are the chances he listens to this and is like, "Wow, these guys suck"?
Yo, could you imagine? Imagine he was low key into the Lego community.
Logic, I made a Lego minifigure of you. Please go look at it. I do have a Logic figure. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
it's really good.
Yeah,
it doesn't deserve to be that good, but it's good. All right,
that'll be our luck.
If that didn't bore anybody and they're still here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking about music for like probably like 15 minutes at this point.
I knew as soon as I jumped into that, it was going to be so.
But you know, man,
that was my selfish desire.
I'm glad you asked about it, because like music is something that I absolutely adore listening to, and just like getting into and finding new artists and stuff and collecting the records and everything. So it's always good whenever somebody asks about that, because I'm just like, yeah, I'd love to talk about this, because it's not something people usually ask about when it comes to like Lego customizers. It's always like, oh, what paint do you use? Can I have this type of stuff?
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. It's such
it's
a
refreshing.
Fun thing to bond over.
Right.
Do you have any talent in music at all?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. See, that's the same thing for me. And now I've just found such a love for it, because it's something so unobtainable.
Yeah.
Like seemingly unobtainable
it's
for me.
Like
I'm
you
not
really
going to dedicate
it more.
My time.
Yeah. Cause you're like, wow, these people are really talented, cause I could not do this.
Yeah. And it's just like, man, I wish I could, you know, express myself like this. Like it's so beautiful, and when it has like such an impact with you, you're like, man, that's like such a talent.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it just kind of, I mean, there's probably another level of depth and appreciation you have once you actually understand what's going on, but I can only imagine how, like, if I'm feeling it this much and I don't know what's going on, really, that must
imagine be if you do know what's going on.
Yeah
I've got but, a Do you remember Sean Cassidy, or TR Legos fan?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, so he's I think he's musically talented. He's in a band. So
okay.
Yeah, I think he might be going to Brickfair this year, so maybe he'll bring his guitar and do a little concert there for us.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, I think he does kind of more like kind of punk rock type stuff. So I don't know if that's exactly what you're into, but hey,
I've been kind of getting into a little bit of a punk thing.
Oh yeah, I know he's real. He is real into Green Day.
Okay,
he's got like Green Day tattoo and everything. So like he's a big fan. So that style of music is probably what he might be serenading everybody with.
I'm down for it, man.
Any
that
concert
and Midwest emo, I've been really diving in down there.
Not a genre I am familiar with, but I'm familiar with just being in the Midwest, but not the emo. Ohio gang.
Oh man, some of my good buddies, Dash Bricks and Skep Rocker in Ohio.
Oh
and
yeah,
there's just so many funny memes.
Dude, there's
just,
so many people in
talking
Ohio.
Shit about Ohio. It's
yeah,
so
well,
good.
I mean it's terrible, but could be worse.
If any meme, like we're in a group chat for Citizen Brick Collectors, because that's what they're involved in,
yeah.
And I dabble. You could
you dabble.
Say.
You dabble a little bit.
Dabble a little too much, but
everybody's got their one thing.
any Ohio meme that anybody comes across in that group just gets shared instantly.
Yeah. Somebody in our group made a separate chat with just the people that are from Ohio and just sends memes that are making fun of Ohio and at Ohio's expense, just do it all the time. He's like, this you? And we're just like, yes. Unfortunately.
Oh man. Yes. Ohio can't catch a break, but honestly it doesn't deserve to catch a break. So
no, not so much. But yeah, could be worse. Could be far worse than like
could be
you
worse.
Know.
You could be in New Jersey. So.
Yeah, could be in New Jersey, could be in like I was gonna say Utah, but Nate is in Utah. So
Utah's chill. They're doing their own thing.
I guess so. Maybe like Montana or Kansas. They don't really have a lot going on. Don't hear anything about Montana.
I mean, I don't even want to bring up Alabama. That's just like the punching bag.
Yeah,
like,
that
they already
Kentucky.
Got enough
We're
shit,
too close
you know?
To Kentucky. That their stuff. Just
they're dealing out. With their own thing. You know, yeah. They got their own issues down there.
Some wild stuff to be talking about on a Lego podcast.
Oh yeah, I embrace it, man. This is just this is what you get.
Good conversation.
Absolutely. I think we could wrap it up with one more Lego question to us back on track before we go into the copper drop.
Yeah.
What is your favorite figure that you've created?
That I've created? Ooh. I mean, easy answer would be the General Grievous that I made in like 2019.
Oh, see, that's perfect because I had that. I wanted to talk about that as well because Nate was gassing you up about the casted Grievous that's coming out. And
yeah.
Now I need to inquire. I need to find out more about this Grievous.
Yeah, but that one's like the easy answer just because that one's like my like pride and joy just because I spent so much time working on that. And
right.
It's also just been such a pain in my ass as a project just to get done. I'll give you a little timeline here of
I'm gonna grab it real
quick just so I can look at it. But yeah, a little timeline of how this started. So it was like I was working through my like Star Wars Skywalker saga project where I was going through and making figures of each of, you know, from each of the different films in their like release order. So it's coming up to start working on the prequels and I was like trying to plan ahead. And I was like, at this point I wasn't really a sculptor at all. So I was like, hey, I need someone to make me a Grievous so I can paint it up. And so I was talking to Andrew Vu about it at Brick Fair and he's like, oh yeah, I can do one. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, I can start one. I've always been wanting to do that. And we can, like, collaborate on it. And he was like, I've been getting into casting a little bit, so maybe we could, like, cast it or something. I was like, yeah, sounds great. And so, like, almost like a year goes by and, like, no progress is made on it just because, like, his business was really starting to build at that point. Because when we talked about this, like, he was still just doing, like, decal stuff on the side. He was still, like, actually customizing and making his own figures and stuff.
Right, right.
And so he was still pretty small, and then he just started to get big. So he didn't, like, have time to work on it. So it got to the point, like, in late 2018. I was like, yo, man, are you going to be able to do this? He's like, honestly, probably not. I'm not going to be able to sculpt this thing. So I was like, send it over to me and I'll see what I can do. So he sent it over to me in like December and I sculpted this thing up in like a month and sent it back to him. And it turned out to be like one of my favorite sculpts that I've ever done just because it's so complex and detailed, and it's got all of the joints and everything in it, which is something I never really did too much. And I was like really just going all out on this thing. And so I sent it to him to get casted, and he sent me back a copy in like late February, early March. So I was able to paint it out and get my figures out. But since then, like, we haven't been able to get any more out. And so like almost a year goes by, and this is like summer of last year, and I start doing, you know, sculpt work as usual. And I got in contact with a guy, Forge 510, right, on Instagram. He works a lot with Morphonauts, who I know you're familiar with. And he,
yeah, I'm hoping to get Morphonauts on soon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. But, I got in contact with him, and I was like, hey man, I see he's doing like some like small scale casting stuff. And I was like, hey, do you want to like cast a couple helmets and armor pieces for him? He's like, yeah, sure. So we got, you know, some Mando torsos done, and some like Pre-Vizsla helmets and Bo-Katan helmets and torsos and arms and stuff done. And I was like, hey, do you want to do this Grievous for me? Cause I want to get this thing out. And he's like, yeah, sure. So I had Andrew send me back all of my master stuff, all of my master sculpts. And he sent me this gigantic bag full of just like miscasted parts. So I was able to like, cause when I sculpted Grievous, I did like a head, one arm, like one complete leg, and like one alternate like thigh pad or one thigh piece, just because like they're symmetrical. So it's like, I'm not going to make two. I can just get the same one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So like, I only sculpted one arm, and then Andrew cut it at the elbow and re-glued it to get like a different pose out of it. I sculpted the shoulder separately. So I had to like recreate all of the arms using all of these miscasted pieces. Then I sent it, and then I sculpted a cape for it and some sabers and sent it off to Forge. And I had to redo the joint system a little bit just to make sure they're a little tighter. And I'm still need to get a sample of that. But yeah, man, it's just been, it's been a wild ride, and I just want it to be over with, just because I want to get this thing out. And I know a couple other people are starting to do their own like Grievous models. Like Tristan did his own like Lego style, but that's now under
that
one Nate.
Was really nice.
Yeah. So I think Nate's got that now. And then I know Morphonauts did a design for somebody. I think Lego Enthusiast, I think is his name. He did
yeah,
a model.
I think I mean, saw something about that.
They all look like vastly different. So
yeah, that's the good thing. Because the Lego Enthusiast one, I believe, is like super realistic.
It's super realistic, super kind of stylized, because Morphonauts has like a specific style that he kind of works in. So it fits right in with his stuff. And then Tristan's is literally just like the Lego one, just with like ball jointed shoulders and just like a couple proportional issues fixed. So like, they're all very different, which like at first I was like, oh, come on, I wanted to be like the only Grievous on the market. But I'm just like, they're all so different that it's not going to even really matter.
You can all coexist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And I know people are going to pick each one of them up, because, you know, there's people out there that will just go crazy for this type of stuff. And the casts that I'm doing are just going to be like super limited. We're only making like 50 of them, just because they're so like hard to do, because they're all these, there's so many pieces in each different one.
Yeah.
They're, you know, very thin parts, so you got to be really careful. So we got to have like a really, really careful release with them. And that's why I'm like not rushing Forge to get it out, because I want him to like take his time with it. But I don't know if you know, but he's had like a pretty rough year so far, because he's.
So I've heard. Yeah, it was like a lot of health issues.
Yeah, a lot of health issues. He's got some sort of cancer. He hasn't really like filled me in too much it, just because it's, you know, pretty personal. I'm not really going to like ask him about that type of stuff. But yeah, he's been dealing with that. He's been going through chemo, and then his brother passed away not too long ago. And so this dude's just been getting hit left and right with just these terrible things. But that dude is like one of the strongest dudes ever, just because he just keeps pushing through it, and he's still like doing stuff on top of it. And he just launched a business with Morphonauts. They have their own little brand going now, which is great.
Yes. The statuette figures are really neat.
Yeah. They're their own scale. That I'm going to talk them up a little bit, because I think they're great.
Oh, really? Are they their own scale?
They're their own scale. They're like, I think like 2 to 2.5 inch style figures, little bigger than Mega Bloks. And, you know, they're posable and everything. And I want to get a couple to paint up, just because, you know, I think they're great. And Morph does such a great job. And it just like,
oh,
that
wait,
being,
that's like their unique ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking about the Lego style.
Yeah.
Right. Are those larger or those are Lego scale?
I think those are Lego scale from what I recall. I don't have any of those yet, but I would like to get some in, just because I think those are really cool looking. But like,
they are really nice.
Yeah. Their own like personal line of figures is something that I'm like super into, just because they're doing their own like toy design. I just think that is just super cool for them to be doing that type of stuff. And I think it like Forge has been talking to me about it for like a couple months now, and he's really excited about where they want to take it, and they're hoping they get more people on board. So like I'd love to contribute. Once I think Forge is going to send me a couple samples for me to paint up, just because I think they're really cool and I want to promote them, because it's just, I think they're so unique, and that's exactly what I want other people to start doing, is like making like legit their own toy brand at this point.
That you got me actually really hyped for those, because I kind of overlooked it just because the themes weren't necessarily something I'm interested in.
Right now, but they don't have like
fully
too much.
Realizing, you know, that it's kind of like G.I. Joe style articulation and all, yeah, but at that super tiny scale, mm-hmm, that is something to marvel at. These are really nice.
Also, Morph is like a powerhouse when it comes to sculpting stuff digitally.
Yeah.
Like that dude, I think his name is Bo. He just sits down and just churns out all of these really impressive sculpts. And I told him, I was like, he was like, what do you guys want to see? And I was like, hey, it'd be cool to see a Destiny character. And like a week later, he had Cage 6 from Destiny up and ready to go. And I was just like, oh man, that is amazing. So I want to get that once he makes it available. But like,
that is, yeah.
Yeah. Just the
I keep on
that,
saying, sorry.
I was just going to say that just the fact that they can just move that quickly and get that many new products out in that specific scale is just super impressive.
Absolutely. All the more power to them, and, you know, good luck to Forge and all he's going through.
Yeah, I was going to call with him sometime this week. I think he had some other treatment thing going on earlier this week, but I need to get a status update on some of the stuff that we've been working on, because he's been doing some Mando casts for me. It kind of sucks because like I sculpted like a Boba helmet right around the time Nate released all of his stuff. So it's kind of like old news at this point, because I was just like, yeah, I'm going to have a cool Boba helmet out for you guys to buy. And then Nate just came and just swept that out from underneath me almost. I mean, I'm not complaining, because like he did a great job on his stuff. But I'm just like, hey, if anybody wants these, I'll have them. So
for sure. There will be variety. A demand, no doubt.
Yeah, and they're different enough, because Nate's got like a very specific look to his Mando helmets, or they're a little more wider and kind of based off of Boba Fett's helmet. Whereas mine are kind of more narrower and kind of look more like the ones from the Clone Wars.
Right.
So, I mean, I think people will like them, hopefully. But yeah, we've got a lot of stuff in the works that he's been casting for me that I want to get an update on, just so I kind of know where it's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I keep on saying I'm going to get more fun, but I still haven't reached out. So after this, yeah, I'm definitely going to hit him up and make it happen.
I haven't talked to him like one-to-one yet, but just hearing about him from Forge and Nate, he seems like a great guy, so I'm sure
I've heard he's really nice, so that it'll make reaching out easier.
Yeah, he'd probably give a really good perspective on like the toy design stuff, because him and Forge are probably like, Forge is really knowledgeable when it comes to just like the technicalities with that, like the manufacturing process. So
yeah,
I imagine
the two of them
just
are just like legit, like they are vetted toy manufacturers at this point. Like that's, I don't even know where to start with them.
And I'm glad that Morph's been getting like so much work from the Lego community, because it seems like there's a lot of these resin printer dudes out here that are just like commissioning him to do like their designs.
Everyone
and
their
then
brother's commissioning
him.
Morph.
Pretty much, yeah. I saw he closed his commissions because I guess he was getting sick of it, and everybody was like, hey, make this. So it's probably getting annoying to a degree, but it's like the dude's doing so many commission projects. It's like I was surprised that he wasn't doing any of the stuff like sooner and making his own brand, because it seems like he's so busy with it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, tying it back all around, I would say
one
Grievous.
More question.
Grievous?
You want to go into Grievous? Well,
yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So with the Grievous casting stuff, like that's been, you know, something that everybody literally asks me about. They're always just like, when's it coming? I was like, I have no idea. Hopefully sometime soon. That's always like my answer, just because I don't really know. But he's like my easy answer in terms of like what my favorite figure is. But like currently, like stuff that I've made more recent than that, because that figure is almost 2 years old at this point. Actually, is over 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
I'd probably say, like, current favorites, I really like my, I'm working on Hunter from the Bad Batch. He's turned out really nice. I haven't showed him off anywhere yet. But
I'm
he's
loving
one of my
the teasers
favorites.
For the Bad Batch figs. Those are looking great.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. But him, I really like the Hers figures, and then I also really like probably my pre-Vizsla from the Clone Wars that I did last year. Really, just really happy with those kind of those groups. So yeah, Grievous is the easy one, but I do have like a lot of like smaller figure projects that I just really love.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. One more question before we jump into the copper drop.
Sure.
What's your controversial Lego Star Wars take?
Oh God, Lego Star Wars take? Oh man,
that is, could that be is in a, general or that customizing. Is a good
question. I don't know. I'm not like huge into the Lego Star Wars community as a whole.
Just the customizing?
Just the customizing, yeah. I mean, like, of course, I collect the sets and everything, but I don't know. It just seems like that Star Wars community just seems... I mean, the Star Wars community in general is always very toxic, but I feel like with
that's
the Lego
any
stuff,
community.
Yeah, pretty much. But, like, Lego community can be a little bit dicey here or there, but I don't know if I have, like, a super specific opinion relating to Lego Star Wars. I know I think, like, most of their current sets are pretty much garbage, but so does everybody else.
So does everyone.
I feel like, yeah, like the Bad Batch shuttle, like I hate it. I hate it so much just because the figures, like I know people like them, but like me just being like super like toned to accuracy, and I'm just like, these figures all suck pretty much.
I've seen people really bashing them, but I'm like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Like, once there's an intricate sort of helmet design or anything,
yeah, they're gonna...
you can guarantee it's going to be humongous.
Yeah.
Like, and,
but I'm sitting here, like, I'm just like, that tech helmet, I'm just like, bruh, that is so terrible. How would anybody approve that? It's like, there's so many other people, like, Nate has one. Even the knockoff companies have one that yeah, looks right? fine. And I was just like, bro, and those move too. The knockoff company, like the ears and the headset thing move. It's like, bro, Lego, what are you doing? That thing looks garbage. And they made him like light gray and he's supposed to be white. I'm just like, there's so many design choices that I just see them do. And I'm just like, what are you thinking? Like, I know they're restricted to a specific style and they can't make it like super accurate, but it's like, come on, like try a little harder at least so he can turn his head maybe.
Just delete the whole thing and start
delete
over.
Delete the whole thing, yeah. But I don't know. That said, I guess I was like expecting way too much. But like, I'm going to buy the Clone Army Customs figures more likely now, just because they'll probably be better than the Lego ones. If
to fill the void.
Yeah. Those ones have all been right. Looking decent so far. He's posted some renders, and his tech helmet is a little questionable because it's kind of... he had like two versions. I don't know if you're familiar with what he's got going
on. I don't think
on.
I have, no.
Oh, he had one of them that had like the eyes printed on to the helmet, other than it being like hollowed out. So it looked pretty funky. But then I saw he was doing another version where it was actually cut out and the eyes were just printed onto the head. But I'm just really curious to see how that will look on a figure. So I'm not going to make like any judgments until I see a physical thing, because renders can always be different.
Renders are always dicey. Yeah, no, I want to see the final product. That's why I dislike if any... custom printed brands only display renders on their site and not the final product.
I think the only like exception to that is Phoenix Custom Bricks, because their renders
usually
look,
know it's gonna look exactly like that
pretty much. Yeah, and
he's got the reputation to get away with
he's able to do that. Yeah, but only figure I have from him is the Bo-Katan from the Mandalorian, and that still hasn't come
out
yet.
One
that's the only one that I plan on buying until they make like a Boba Fett or something.
Sure.
Another money pit.
It's always plastic, man.
It's always plastic. Shedding paper for plastic here.
All right. This has been a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
So let's move on in to the copper drop. If you like it, you cop it. If you don't, you drop it. First up, I'm actually curious if you are familiar with this guy. We have a custom from the Canvas Dawn, Frank Ocean. They're like these fully packaged musical artist figures. He's been totally killing it. There's some really great stuff from him.
Yeah,
how are you feeling about this?
I don't even know if I've seen that before. I'm going to check out his page real quick because I'm curious, because I think I might have seen him do something else. Yeah, he did a Mac Miller, too.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. He's done The Weeknd, Kanye, Mac Miller, Frank Ocean, Tyler.
I think there might have been some controversy with one of those figures. It might have been somebody completely different. Oh, it was the Tyler figure, because... the Tyler figure he made is very similar to one that Speedy Bricks made and that Nate made, because they both made it in that outfit. And
oh,
that looks
right.
It looks almost identical to how they did the face, at least. So a little questionable there. But in terms of the Frank, I want to get back to that. I've never seen somebody print like hair onto the head like that.
Right. That really surprised me.
It's definitely
It came out well enough, but I'd want to see actually how the back looks.
Yeah. And I like the torso print's good. I think the face, like the closed eyes face, looks pretty good. I just don't know if I'd really have a use for it, just because I have a custom figure of that particular Frank.
Right, right. That blows that out of the water.
But. Yeah, so definitely like cool looking figure, but I don't know if I'd personally have a use for it. I really like the packaging style of that though. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe
for me, it's the full package that you're going for here, because the digital printing has definitely improved a lot over the course of what he's making, but it's slightly subpar to what else is out there, and especially for what you're paying.
Yeah.
For them, they retail around 30.
Oh, okay.
But
it's a little expensive for like a torso and a head, especially for digital.
Right, right. But you know, you get the full package figure, and it's a really cool display piece. So
yeah, that is a really cool display piece. But I don't know. Again, I don't know if I'd personally have an interest for it. I've got a lot of Frank stuff up already.
I've been tempted every time he drops a figure, and I haven't bought one yet. But who knows? Maybe one of these days.
Maybe one of these days. But for now, I'm probably going to have to go with a drop. But that's not knocking it for how cool it looks. Like, I just personally don't need it, because I already have one. I have three, totally. Actually. I have three Franks.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have the Loki hair and a little crown thing from Nate's Minifigs.
Yeah, I mean, that thing looks beautiful, I would have to say. And that was
some
collaborative.
Luscious locks.
Yeah, that was a collaborative project between him and Render Minifig.
Yeah.
I think Render Minifig did like the base model for it, and I think Nate modified it a little bit just to kind of make sure it was printable and everything. But it looks really good. Right now, I'm not like planning on making a Loki, but I mean, have you been watching the show?
I haven't at all.
Okay.
I honestly, until you just said that it was revolving around a show, I didn't know it was around
a
show.
No, yeah.
So
yeah, Disney Plus show. Yeah. It's on like its second episode at this point, and it's pretty good. Like, I think it's probably one of the best like Disney Plus Marvel shows that they've done. Cause the other two have been like, okay, but this one's been like pretty interesting. So like, it might inspire me to make a Loki, but we haven't seen Loki wearing his crown piece yet in the show.
Mm.
So, I mean, very cool piece. I'll probably get one from Nate at some point, just cause like, it's a very, very cool looking piece. And I think it's designed really well. And I have pretty much all of Nate's inventory, like everything he's made already so far. So I'll probably get it just to add it to the collection, just cause it's
right.
Pretty nice. Very nicely designed. Yeah. I'm sure pretty much anybody that's going to be making a Loki from the show is going to be using that piece. So we're going to see
doubt.
It a lot. We're going to see it a lot.
Better get used to it. Buckle in, boys.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. And last up here, and a bit of an older release here, but it's still available if you're interested.
Oh,
or
really?
Viewers are. From Minibigs, there's the custom Childish Gambino. How are you feeling about that? Pad printed by Citizen Brick.
Yeah. So good quality as always. I'm sure you're a big CB guy, and I appreciate the pad printing. CB's got some great quality as always. Gambino, that's a great outfit for Gambino. That's from the This Is America music video, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's very cool looking figure, but I know it's like $40, isn't it?
I believe it's closer to 30.
Oh, is
yeah.
It? If it's closer to 30, then I might actually go and cop that, because that's really nice. But I thought it was like $40. And so I was like a little wary, because I was like $40 for like one figure is a little much, because I don't really buy a lot.
Yeah, it is 40.
Stuff.
It is 40.
But then here I also am talking about how I bought the Phoenix Custom Bricks Bo-Katan for $105. So it's like, can't
or
really
both
talk to
Brockhampton vinyls.
Both Brockhampton vinyls. So yeah, I mean, if Minibigs comes to like Brick Fair or something, I could see myself like definitely scooping that up there, because that's a really nicely designed figure.
Yeah,
sure.
Came out great.
And Minibigs has
and
been doing
And it comes
their
with
own...
the comes out with the tile.
Oh,
on the
yeah.
Side. I don't know. Yeah, like the record. But where you say?
Very cool. I like how it's like in that Citizen Brick style too. Like, it fits very nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Minibigs is doing like their own pad printing now. Like, he's got his own like
they are.
Crank thing or something. So.
They are. I got a. I've
Which
got a
torso did you buy?
Him. No, I bought a few. I bought the. I shaved my balls for this.
Nice, nice. That was the
and,
one I was thinking.
The
it's ridiculous.
Most importantly, I bought the DSP torso.
Nice.
That started as a bit of an inside joke amongst that group of Sizenberg collectors I previously mentioned. And it's only grown from there. And I'm a big proponent of DSP. For those unaware, DSP stands for Dick Smoking Prices. So if
nice.
You ever if you ever search on eBay, there's a whole lot of DSP.
Nice.
And we'll just leave it at that. But that's a legendary figure. I couldn't believe when he, that was like literally one of the first things he made. Everyone was so excited.
Yeah, that's been great. I was kind of felt obligated to maybe get the Harambe one, you know, hailing from near Cincinnati.
Yes.
So felt obligated to pay my
respects.
I got
one of those too. He's been doing, man, obviously, like, I'm a bit of a CB fanboy. So like, you kind of like, oh, well, I might as well buy this just because CB printed it or yada yada, even though it's like maybe something I wouldn't use. And I thought that I wouldn't be so interested in all the stuff he's been making just because I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't need to check off the box of being a CB item that I buy.
Right.
But some of the stuff has just been so fun and something I haven't seen remotely done by anybody else that I can't help it. And,
yeah, it's just funny because usually stuff like that, like little, like, I want to say like joke pieces like that. Where they're just, you know, just printed to be funny. You don't really see people using pad printers for that. Usually that'd be like digital stuff. But like, it's funny seeing like just joke items like that put out. So,
and just super high quality.
Yeah. Really.
No, I've been loving all he's doing. And I got a joke torso coming down the woodwork with him.
Nice.
I'm actually shipping him all of the parts tomorrow.
Nice. I'm excited to see what he makes with that. And I just looking at this Gambino, I just like want it even more just because it just looks great. I wonder if CB would like have any of those at Brick Fair, because I know they're going.
I don't believe so. Yeah,
it's probably an exclusive then, all right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, once it's like commissioned out, the stuff.
Let me consult my bank account, see how it feels.
Well, Aaron, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you and chat. This
Absolutely.
Has been a great time, and I look forward to seeing you at Brick Fair.
Yep.
Any last words for the listeners?
Nah, man, it's just going to be a great year at Brick Fair this year. I'm so excited, and I hope more people show up this year so that way it can be a rocking event to kick on the new year of it since we missed out on last year. But thanks for having me. I was glad I was able to do this. This is the first like podcast I've done with like a one-on-one host other than Nate in a long time. So I appreciate, you know, jumping on like a different platform and just shooting the shit and talking about some random stuff that's going on with the community. So it's always a pleasure. And like I was saying, like, it's great to talk about the music stuff just because nobody really asks that sometimes. It's always just about Star Wars and stuff. So it's great to bond with people over that since it's always such a big part of other people's lives.
Yeah, people's lives. Yeah, totally. No, it's been a real pleasure, and you're always welcome on again.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'd love to.
Yeah, I'll see you at Brick Fair, Mo.
Absolutely. See you there.
Adios.
Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes. I want to give a huge thank you to all of our patrons on patreon.com. We have Seth, Luger Enthusiast, Tubalev, Mike, Justin, Francisco, Dashbrick, TK Custom Lego, Milo, Dr. Xbox Live, Jay, Minibigs, and Thomas. I cannot thank you all enough, and if you're interested in supporting the podcast as well, you can check out the link tree in our Instagram bio. It'll lead you directly to it. Once again, thank you, Charlie, for creating this theme music. Please show him support and check out his work anywhere you stream music. His work is linked in the bio, or you can look him up under Charlie the Nomad. Thank you all again for listening, and make sure to tune in next time as I talk with Lando from Brickmania.